Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. It's Monday afternoon, and we've got a mix today that actually hangs together quite nicely. Big funding rounds, infrastructure that should have existed years ago, and some properly thoughtful pushback against the hype machine. Let's start with the money. Shield AI just closed a $1.5 billion Series G round. That puts them at a $12.7 billion valuation, and they're not just sitting on the cash. They're acquiring a company called Echelon. Now, Echelon isn't a flashy startup. They're a high-fidelity simulation company that's been training actual military pilots for decades. The kind of unglamorous infrastructure that makes real things work. And that's exactly why Shield AI wants them. Here's the play. Use simulation to train AI pilots faster, then deploy those pilots across multiple platforms. Shield AI's autonomy software, it's called HiveMind, has already piloted 26 different vehicle classes, F-16S drone boats. Completely different systems, same brain. And this week, the US Air Force selected them for the Collaborative Combat Aircraft Program. That's autonomous systems flying alongside human pilots in actual combat scenarios. The takeaway? The barrier to autonomous flight just dropped. Again, when the same AI can pilot a fighter jet and a naval drone, you're not talking about niche applications anymore. You're talking about platform-agnostic autonomy. Think about what that means for a second. Right, completely different problem now, but it connects. While companies like Shield AI are building brilliant hardware and pilot systems, there's been this massive wasteful pattern underneath. Every robotics company has been rebuilding the same fleet management layer, over and over. Connectivity, logging, remote access, state management, the unglamorous middle bits that just need to exist so the interesting stuff can happen. That's where OpenRobots comes in. It launched this week from inorbit.ai. It's open source. And it handles exactly that middle layer, the operating system that lets different fleets talk to the same infrastructure without everyone inventing their own version. Think of it like this. You wouldn't expect every app developer to build their own file system or networking stack, right? But in robotics, that's been happening. System integrators rebuilding the same functionality separately, slowing everything down. OpenRobOps is complementary to OpenRMF, which handles traffic flow when multiple fleets share the same physical space. This is the layer beneath that, the plumbing. And honestly, this should have existed 5 years ago. The fact that it's happening now, and it's open source, means deployments get faster and cheaper, less time wasted on reinventing wheels, worth thinking about if you're building anything with fleets. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. A solo developer built something called Obsidian Neural. It's a distributed GPU network for real-time AI music generation. Runs as a plugin inside your DAW, your digital audio workstation. 4,200 downloads since launch. No paying users yet. But here's what stood out to me. The architecture itself. If you run a Python server on your GPU and join the network, you get an 85% revenue share. Paid in euros, not crypto. Plus free credits to use the plugin yourself. And the revenue numbers? Published openly. The code? Open source. It's cooperative infrastructure. Transparent. Not owned by one company. Now, will it work commercially? I don't know yet. But the model, this idea of distributed, contributor-owned systems with transparent economics. That's interesting, especially when you contrast it with the usual centralized AI infrastructure where one company owns the stack and takes the margins. Full disclosure. I've been thinking about this all morning. What would change if more infrastructure worked like this? Right. Let me pivot to something a bit more critical. Gary Marcus wrote a piece this week about vision models, specifically, how they're not actually understanding images the way we think they are. Stanford ran some research. They took frontier models, the ones that score brilliantly on medical imaging benchmarks, and tested them without showing them the images, just the text descriptions. The models still achieved top scores. They were generating plausible-sounding fabrications based on pattern matching, not actual visual reasoning. Marcus's argument? Jobs that require real spatial understanding, architecture, film editing, engineering, those stay safe from disruption longer than the headlines suggest, because the models aren't seeing, they're guessing very well. Now, to be fair, that doesn't mean they're useless. Pattern matching at scale is incredibly powerful, but it does mean we need to be honest about what these systems can and can't do. The bit that really stood out for me? We're building systems that pass tests without possessing the underlying capability the test was meant to measure. That's a problem for anyone deploying these tools in high-stakes environments. Have a think about where that leaves liability when things go wrong. And actually, speaking of deployment in the real world, humanoid robots are moving out of labs, fast, airports, restaurants, factories. Google DeepMind partnered with Agile Robotics this week. China's rolling out humanoid units at pace, but there have been safety incidents. Chicago, specifically. Robots in public spaces, real people around them, and the questions about readiness and liability are starting to surface. This is where the gap between capability and deployment gets interesting. You can have a robot that works brilliantly in a controlled lab, but public spaces? Different game entirely. Unpredictable humans, kids, uneven surfaces, lighting changes. The tech might be ready. The liability frameworks? Not even close. Okay, last one, and this is the good stuff. Neurosymbolic fraud detection, production ready, runs 33 times faster than SHAP explanations. Here's why that matters. SHAP is the standard way to explain why a machine learning model made a decision. It's post hoc. You run the model, get a prediction, then run SHAP separately to figure out why. Takes about 30 milliseconds. This new approach generates human-readable explanations as part of inference. 0.9 milliseconds. Same recall, deterministic output. No background dataset required. So instead of, the model flagged this transaction and we think it's because of these features, you get the model flagged this transaction because X, Y, and Z, and here's the exact logic. That's not just faster, it's trustworthy in a way post hoc explanations aren't. If you're deploying fraud detection at scale or anything where you need to justify decisions to regulators or customers, this is a different class of tool. The takeaway? Interpretability doesn't have to be slow. You can bake it into the model itself. So, stepping back from all of that, what keeps coming up today is infrastructure, the unglamorous bits, fleet management platforms that should have existed years ago, cooperative GPU networks with transparent economics, fraud detection that explains itself as it runs. The flashy stuff gets the headlines. But the boring infrastructure, that's what actually unlocks deployment at scale. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.